My name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. I am amused by people, as you have probably gathered by now. I have this funny thing about people. We've talked about this. I've always had a kind of a fear of public speaking. I've gotten better over the years, as of course, which is odd for being in this business that I'm in the radio business, as a speaker, as somebody who is comfortable enough now to go on stage and not have a problem with it. But if you want to know more about that, listen, I think it's the third podcast, the episode three of the series, not of this series, of the very first series, season one. It's a fear of public speaking. And it's I don't know, I've learned over the years that, you know, people have this very unique way about them. And Facebook and social media really kind of points that out. I see that a lot. The idiosyncrasies of folks. I'm moving stuff around here. By the way, I'm actually recording this episode down in Studio B. At Pirate Radio Studios. The computer that I told you about last week that I was building is not done. So I'm hoping to, when I go through social media, specifically Facebook, and if you follow me on Facebook, you see that I don't really post much, but I'm there. I do read some of those things. I don't spend all day on it, but I do keep it kind of handy. And the only thing I really post on it is stuff regarding the radio station or this podcast or that kind of thing. And when you sit there and you kind of digest everything that has been posted by people and you look carefully at what is going on, you find that people have this, and I mean people in general, okay? I'm not talking about you as an individual, but people in general. People in general have this sort of a selfish way about them. And I think social media, for good or ill, is really the harboring of it. You really see the real inside of people if you just kind of read between the lines. People are very selfish. People, they talk about themselves. That hasn't changed in, 100,000 years. People like to talk about themselves. People like to hear their name. People like to be asked about what it is that they do for a living or how long they've been doing it or where they lived or how long they've lived there. And when you look at these posts and it's the whole like me, like me, like me thing, it becomes, a little grating, I think. You have to wonder the motivations behind some of what people post. I understand that there are those who find their only comfort in this world through social media. If that's the case, I get it. I understand it, but it's sad. It really is. We spend all of our time with our noses buried into our devices and not face to face anymore. And when you do see it, you go out in public, you'll notice that. Like, let's say you go to a restaurant and everybody's sitting there at the table and immediately to their right is their phone. Face up where they can see it, because the second you're, you might be having an intense discussion about where you're going for the holidays or way things are going on in business or having a serious discussion about family matters or whatever the case may be, not the television show, but your own family, your own family matters. And the second one of the phones lights up with a text, a push notification, which I'll get into in a moment, a call, it's like everything has to stop right now because I have to deal with this because it's about me. That's why push notifications in social media are something that I refuse to enable on any of my devices. I mean, I have a good number of friends. I use that word friends in quotes. They're not my friends. They call them that because Facebook won't let you call them acquaintances or fans per se. But the push notification, I mean, as many alerts and as many notifications as I get on Facebook, the battery of my phone wouldn't be able to take it. It would burn up. B, I don't need that constant interruption of my life to be told precisely what some guy I know is having for lunch. Or why he's upset that a certain television show is not on tonight and he has nothing else to do. Or that somebody is requesting, if you will, they're requesting prayers for no specific reason. There's vague booking going on. And then you've got the incredibly lonely people that sit there and go, woe is me. Nobody will talk to me. Well, there's an easy fix for that. Drop the goddamn phone, turn off your tablets and your laptops, and go out. Go somewhere. Go to a restaurant. Go to a bar. If that's not your thing, go to a grocery store. Talk to people. Pick up a charity gig somewhere. Volunteer your time. Meet new friends. Go to a church. That I think is what has stopped, because we're all of a sudden now encompassed into this noise that is in social media. And since everybody's on it, it's really hard to get a point across. And have you ever noticed that? Facebook, of course, if you have a business and you're running your Facebook stuff through it, they tend to get a little pissy when you do what they want you to do too much. If you make too many requests, you make too many friend requests, or you invite too many people, or whatever it is that they get upset about. But when you have a business, and if you've got say 10,000 likes and you post something, your intent is for all 10,000 of those people to see what it is that you've posted. But actually, it goes out to 100. And as a result, if you want more, you got to cut Mr. Zuckerberg a check. Oh, he'll show it to everybody you need to see, who needs to see it, but it's going to have to, it's going to have to cost you. I get it. It's a business model. But then people get freaked out when that doesn't exist. There was a time several months ago when Facebook was actually down. It was down for a couple of hours, 3 or 4 hours. And I happened to be on Twitter when it happened, because the story was, as I follow a lot of breaking news. I use Twitter as a news feed for me, which is literally what it is. But I follow the Associated Press. There's a great group called Breaking News, which I think is through NBC News. And our friends at Feature Story News, FSN out of Europe. And, a few other people. And, I use that is to find out, that's my newspaper, what's going on in the world. And when the story broke that Facebook was down for a couple of hours, I began to laugh, because the initial thought was, oh my God, these people are going to absolutely go apeshit. There's going to be looting. There's going to be panic in the streets. There'll be a breakdown of major society. I'm sitting there thinking, if we woke up one day and all of Facebook just happened to be down, say for a week. Yes, as a human being, we would survive. But the problem is, there would be hollering from the mountaintops. And when it finally does come back up, all you're going to see for the next, month is what you did while Facebook was down, and how you worried that nobody were going to like your pictures, that nobody was going to, it's not like it's like, hey, Facebook's down, I'm going to call somebody and say, hey, what did you have for dinner yesterday? Because I missed your daily dinner picture. I'm sorry. Can I come by and watch your cat for a while? Because I didn't get to see the video of your cat chasing paper coming out of a printer. We get other people's lives thrust onto us on a minute-by-minute basis, and we accept it. That's the thing. We almost like, it's like we crave this. And it's the little mundane shit that people do that they feel we would all be interested in. Now, granted, if I'm in a, I don't know, in a public setting someplace, say a store, and I see something that is highly unusual or a very bizarre form of, I don't know, somebody does something different, an action of some sort, and I'm amused by this, then yes, I might document it, I might capture it, and I might talk about it, and I might make a mention of it on social media. More than likely, it's going to be, hey, I'm at such and such place. We're going to be here for a while. You want to come say, hey, we'll be here. And that's just a general shout out. But I'm sure as shit not going to, you know, get up every morning and document my every waking moment. And it seems like it's gotten even more intense with those things because I don't know. Obviously, we are interested in what everybody else is doing for whatever reason that might be. The other programs that are out there, Tinder's a dating thing, which is, I'm still baffled by how all that is even a thing. Oh God, what is the name of that whole deal the kids are into now? And it's a big deal, but it's You send the message and then, you know, after a while the message disappears. And you send pictures and the kids dig it because it doesn't clog up their feed. And also they've started this whole thing with this particular program that the kids really like. I forget what they call this part of it too, because I'm not a kid, first of all. I don't care about all this, but it bears mentioning that you can, through this technology, you can document your entire day hour by hour. And this whole thing, it exists as sort of a chapter of your life. And it stays up on this service for like 24 hours. And then it goes away. And it's why somebody has to stop what they're doing in their lives to make sure that they've got their device and their picture, and they got to write something witty or something incredibly stupid, as usually the case is. And you sit there and consume it. Oh, wow. My friend Bob just ate a chimichanga the size of a shoe. Or our friend, you know, Cheryl is not feeling well today. I know this because she decided to tell the world that she has the diarrhea. Is this something that we need to share with people? We always used to joke about TMI, you know, too much information. Because you hear a nauseating detail about something particular, and it's like, oh, TMI, I don't need to hear this. I just sounded like a little Valley girl. Oh, TMI. Oh my God. The thing is that we are living in a world where there is, quite frankly, too much information. We are bombarded by it. We are constantly swimming in this stormy sea of junk, nonsense, stuff, whatever you want to call it. Shit is really kind of what it boils down to. And if you're trying to, I don't know, if you're trying to live in that environment and you're trying to make some type of a noise that somebody's going to understand and somebody that you need to understand what I'm trying to tell you, for example, in Facebook or social media, it's like screaming in a hurricane. It just there's nothing there. And you're just another hump with a thing. And yeah, there's that whole percentage thing. Somebody's going to see what you're doing. They're going to like it. They're going to share it. Because that's the ultimate thing, right? It's sharing things. That's why I've always said this at the end of every episode of this podcast. If you like what you hear, share it. And if you get what I'm doing there, if you like what you hear, you know, like on Facebook, then share it on Facebook to your friends. And it's interesting. It really is interesting what people pick up and what they don't. A lot of times, and I'm not upset by this by any means, so don't misunderstand me here, but it is funny when I'll put together an episode of this podcast and I put it out there and away it goes. You know, it gets a couple of shares, it gets, you know, a couple of mentions, you know, people are talking about it and it's great. But if I were to post a video of our cat Lucky dressed as Superman flying through the air, that I have a sneaking suspicion would probably become like a viral sensation. I don't know. You can't pick virality of things, because if you could, there would be companies that specialize in it. And there are some that actually claim to do this. BuzzFeed is a prime example, and they do have some success with this. But it's based in numbers. They are constantly adding new content, so you are going to be entertained by one thing or another. And there's going to be something, and it's such a wide variety of things, there's going to be something that you see that is going to strike a chord with you. And by virtue of that, you will share it with your people, and you'll say, hey, I thought this was amusing. Perhaps you would too. And you never know. It could be 10, 15% of the people that follow you find the same thing amusing, and then away it goes. But it's just fascinating to me how social media has become what it is. The toothpaste is out of the tube now. You understand that, don't you? We cannot get away from it. It will evolve. It will change. It'll be faster. It'll be more innocuous. It will be more invasive. But it'll always be there. You know, take, for example, those people who wish to have their business communications through Facebook. And they use the, let me tell you folks something. Private Messenger. The private messaging thing in Facebook, I get. I understand. And it's, you know, for those that are on Facebook 24 hours a day, it's a very viable way, I guess, to say, hey, we're getting together. We're going to the bar to watch the game. We're going to go eat some chicken and drink some beer at 9 o'clock, or, you know, whatever it is that you want to say. And yeah, you can get some things going. You can do the whole group message thing, because they're in essence killing email. Not that it really needed any help. Email has been on the way out for a long time. But I refuse to do business through Facebook. It just doesn't feel right. Oh, I've been dragged into conversations on Facebook against my will. And it happens all the time. It's this thing about people for some reason want to include me and like 9 other people in a conversation about something that really has no bearing on it. And it's like, why am I in this conversation? Now, all of a sudden, when I want out of that conversation, I got to look like the bad guy. Well, why do you have to be an asshole about it, Rick? Well, who's the asshole here? I didn't ask to be involved in this conversation. Oh, I've got people who will add me to groups. Why do I want to be in the Beatles fan club group? That actually happened to me. And there was a bunch of people that, this one woman on Facebook, she just feels that, oh, I'm a fan of the Beatles, therefore you are too. And you're going to join this club. I'm going to deposit you in here, and we're going to talk about the Beatles. And it's like, well, wait a minute. I did not ask to be a part of this. And it happened to several people, and it was somebody got really pissy about it, and they wrote this post to this woman and said, why did you add me to a group without my permission? And, of course, her feelings got hurt, because that's what happens to people. Her feelings got hurt. And then it was amusing, because I watched this kind of unfold over a period of, I don't know, a day or so. And I went to this woman's newsfeed, and all of a sudden these posts started showing up from her about, woe is me. Nobody wants to be my friend. Nobody will talk to me. I'm terribly lonely. And I've upset everybody because I started this thing and the Beatles thing, and nobody wants to come play because I dragged. Shut up. Grow the fuck up. Get out of your house and go do something without having to tell the whole world. And it's like, why are you doing this? And it's just insane to me. It's like seeing along the same lines, the people that post the self-affirmation shit. You might be one of them. And if you are, please, for the love of God, stop it. I don't care. Nobody else cares. Because what it means is, when you see that little 4 or 5 line thing about how the world may be kicking me in the balls, but I'm tough and I'm going to get over it because that's the way God made me. You post that shit because that's how you feel. I get it. But what happens is you got 10,000 of the people that feel the same fucking way, so they pick it up and then they share it. Now you can't get away from it. And it means absolutely nothing. Nothing in the scheme of things. I'm rapidly being convinced that Facebook and social media, for the largest part, that's unscalable. You know what I mean by that? Where you can't focus. So Facebook is like the shotgun effect on everything. That I think Facebook is rapidly becoming a haven for conspiracy theorists and right-wing nut jobs. I mean, dude, seriously, I know everybody has their political beliefs and their political ideas, and that's fine. You're entitled to that. That's great. You want to talk about it? Fine. But don't be a dick about it. Don't be laying it out there, constantly rubbing it into people's face about how stupid so-and-so is because they didn't do this or they're doing that. And they think that what they are being said, what's being said on Facebook is going to change the opinion and the ideas of others. Now, look, we've had Facebook around for what, I don't know. Has it been long? About 5 years now, 6 years, 7 years, maybe? I'm talking about in the general mass consumption that it is. And I cannot think of one time, one single time, where I saw something that somebody had posted and it changed the way I thought about anything. Well, I take that back. There have been people that I were friends with that I've had to block because I didn't realize what an asshole they were until I saw their feed. Or I didn't happen to catch just how big of a bigot or a racist somebody is, or how just genuinely insulting somebody is. I thought, man, I met this guy. He didn't come across that way to me. You get on social media and all of a sudden you got balls as big as church bells and you're able to say whatever the fuck you want to say, which you can. It's a free country. I'm giving you that opportunity. But I personally believe that if you're going to say something or do something on social media, you should have the backbone and the testicular fortitude to do the same thing in public with your mouth. That's why I like doing this podcast, because I say what I feel. People go, well, you can't say that. That's insulting. You post something like that on Facebook. It's different when you're behind a keyboard and you're a faceless thing. Your words on a page as opposed to sounds in your ear. Completely different, isn't it? That's why I always recommended that if people wanted to start a podcast, they should. I think if you've ever been on the fence about, well, I don't know if anybody would be interested in one. Take a look at what you write in social media and build podcasts around it. If you want to talk politics, talk politics. If you want to talk religion, talk religion. If you want to talk about the temperature of spit in Wichita, knock yourselves out, which is slightly less than 98.6, by the way. The point being that spoken word has always been more impactful than the written. I know the pen is mightier than the sword. I mean, and there is some truth to that back when people were writing. But by God, I see what you people write. A, you have no grasp of the English language. And B, you got common sense problems that is beyond anybody else's capabilities to fix. And C, quite frankly, I read the first couple of lines maybe, or half of a sentence. I don't need this. I don't need to see all of that.
Man, we can't have no gay marriage, man. This is what I got to say about that. We should go kill deer and stuff.
How about this one? Well, the Ebola virus, nobody's talking about that anymore. Therefore, it was a government plot to keep Obama in office. Are you people serious? Are you people shitting me? And just for the record, 16,000 people are dead over this Ebola thing, and they're still dying. You're not hearing about it because they haven't been brought over here yet. Besides, why should you want to talk about that sort of thing when it has absolutely nothing to do with you? No, you're not going to get Ebola. The stock market is not going to take all of your money. They've already done that. And you telling me who you think should be president of the United States is not going to sway me or my opinion one way or the other. You're just speaking to the choir. Because those that will agree with you will listen and they will like and they'll say yes. Those that disagree with you, they're not going to say anything. We try to be, it's funny because I think people in general try to be somewhat confrontational from time to time by saying something or doing something that can be considered inflammatory. I do it all the time. I do it on the air. I do it in this podcast. Hell no. There's probably some things I've said already in this episode that's probably pissed off some of you. If that's the case, so be it. My job is not to sit here and placate you people, but in a way I do. Where was I going with that? I guess the point being that when you speak your mind and do your thing on social media, it does have that certain sense of gratification that you can do that. It's a way to vent. It's a way to communicate. Those that are the inherently lonely or afraid to go out in public, I get it. That can be a very helpful and handy tool. I'm not here to completely condemn social media by any means. I think it has helped us all as a society to communicate and learn things about each other. Too much information, mind you, but we do find out about things that are happening in other people's lives, which can be a good thing without it being overly in your face. You know, that's just it. It doesn't have to be a complete wash in this world. So in essence, and to find out the stuff that you really are interested in, you've got to wade through piles and piles of cat videos and what pictures of dinner. And by the way, stop taking pictures of your food, people. Unless you have a good camera and an eye for photography, don't do it. Because all it looks like to me is a big pile of shit on your plate, and it doesn't look appetizing. Especially, go look at my homemade beef stew, and I'm going to eat that. And I'm like, I'm so tempted sometimes to write back and go, that looks like shit. You're going to eat that? Seriously? You can describe it all you want to. Put the recipe up there. Hell, I might want to make it myself. But leave the pictures kind of off of it. Or if you feel so compelled to take a picture of it, just say, I know the picture doesn't do it justice. I mean, have some fun with it, because we all know what beef stew pretty much looks like. If you go to a particular restaurant and they've got a hamburger the size of your head, that might be worth taking a picture of, because it doesn't have to look appetizing, because quite frankly, a burger the size of my head doesn't seem appetizing to me at all. But if it's there and it's amusing, then yeah. And for God's sake, turn your phone sideways when you take videos. Oh, God, please. Horizontal. Landscape it, babe. You see more of the action that way. But it's kind of hard to do when you're taking selfies, right? Can you believe that there was a sitcom in development that is in development called Selfie? It's a phenomena. Because the first thing we do when we get a camera is take a picture of ourselves. Because we don't care about other people seeing it. We want to see ourselves. And just for the record, the selfie is not a new thing. Back when I was in school, right, back before there were digital cameras, when people had film cameras and they were at a party or something like that, I would usually grab some stranger's camera and take a selfie and leave it in their roll of film, which they wouldn't get processed until, I don't know, 2-3 weeks after the damn party. And they come across, what the hell is this? Who took that shot? Rick's taking pictures of himself again. So the selfie is not a new thing. It's been around. It's just, we just never got the instant gratification, unless you had a Polaroid. Because, of course, a Polaroid did it right there on the spot. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. There is another phenomenon that is occurring around the selfie thing. There are people who don't like the way they look when they take a selfie. So they take, like, I don't know, 8 or 10 pictures and pick the right one to post up there. They're actually seeking plastic surgery, cosmetic work to make themselves more attractive to themselves. Here's a little trick. next time you, if you feel compelled to take a selfie, raise your, when you have the camera in your hand, raise it up almost over your head, okay? You know, elevate your arm above your shoulder. Your hand should be almost above your forehead and out in front of you. And look down a little bit. And with your eyeballs, look up into the camera. That's a good selfie. It's a different angle. Down below, not so much. Dead straight on? No, not really. Do something different. Have an angle, fun with it, you know? People are amused, I guess, by what goes on in the background of selfies too. Because it's not the individual aside from the duck lip thing. Which that needs to go away too. But they're always amused about the fact that they're in a bathroom and they're using the mirror to take the selfie and they forget that there's a turd laying in the toilet right behind them. Hey, it's your world, man. You're sharing it with everybody else, and I'm here to point it out. Here's what's coming up on the next edition from Radioland. This is what the holiday's about, by God. We're putting the Christ in Christmas. I've been fooled. It was a ruse to get me to act right, or at least act the way my parents wanted me to act. And it's funny now that I am older. I don't ask for anything. I really don't. I really don't want anything. It's hard to sit there and bite your tongue when you've been giving a libation that does precisely the opposite. We've done so well. We've made billions of dollars this past year. We want to give some of that back. So what we did is we struck a deal with a dairy. And now you get to go to Kroger and take this coupon and get yourself a free gallon of milk. Or you can get a half gallon of ice cream. How about shove it up your ass?
Radio Memphis is an internet broadcasting service provided by PirateRadioStudios.com, Memphis, Tennessee, USA.
So now that we've gotten all through the whole social media thing, the least I can do is go ahead and make my own plea for you, as I do each and every time. Share it if you like it. Tell everybody that you know. That's the best way to help me out. You know, I was looking at different ways of, you know, making a buck off of this thing. Of course, that's what you do when you're in show business. Oh, this is great. I got to find a way to make a couple of dollars off of this. And I thought about monetizing it through whatever that was. And that just didn't work out. And it didn't fit for this thing. And I felt sort of, I don't know. It's sort of like, you know, here's a tip jar. I'm not doing that. I could, but I'm not. It just feels sort of silly for me to go, well, hey, if you like it, why don't you give me like $5? You're not getting anything for this aside from just the ability to sit there and let me waste a half an hour of your time, which is okay. I like doing it because it's a half hour of my time to sit here and record. It's not a waste to me. And if you enjoy it, and if you don't enjoy it, then you're not listening to all this anyway. So, you know, so there, but I have been looking at possibly bringing in some type of commercial use into this thing. And here's the thing. And I know I've said it in the past that I think a lot of this should be given away. But if you look at it along the lines of the way a radio station works, you know, you understand that when you're listening to a radio that you're going to hear commercials, and by and large, people are okay with that, and that's fine. And here's the thing. I would never, like, junk into something like this, like 50 commercials into this whole thing. You know, it'd be like one at the beginning and maybe one at the end, you know, brought to you by a particular sponsor. So I'm looking into that. That may happen. It may not. I don't know. I've got so many things going on with Radio Memphis that are positive, good things that may bleed into this. It may not. This is still our time. You and me together. I'm talking. You're listening. We're doing our thing. And as long as you continue to listen, I'll continue to make these, and we'll just have a grand old time, won't we? All right. In the meantime, you can find us at all sorts of places. Now, radio-memphis.com. If you follow me on Facebook and Twitter, I tend to post the links to it, to the podcast from there, because now you can listen to it from the radio station website. Of course, it's always going to be at my blog spot, which is rickcheddar.blogspot.com. The hosting for this has been done through Podbean. So I'm there at rickcheddar.podbean.com. I'm on Blueberry. We're on everywhere. So enjoy it, share it, tell everybody you know about this whole show. And if you have any suggestions or anything, if you feel like you want to talk, go ahead. If not, you know, that's fine. Like I said, kick back, relax, keep listening. And if there's something that you want to say, if there's something that you want to do, do it. Don't be intimidated by it. Start up a podcast. If you are a big person who likes needlepoint, Well, that's weird. Big person who likes needlepoint, that would be like a fat guy who likes needlepoint. Hey, whatever the case, you might be a fat guy and likes needlepoint. If that's the case and you can talk about it, by all means, knock yourself out. Do it. You do what makes you feel right. And that's important, because if you don't do that, then you're going to be miserable. Trust me, we've all been there too. So look, take care of yourselves, take care of one another. We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.